T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my Wild Country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
When I say, should we bring our swimsuits? You say, well, yeah, weather permitting.
With Dusty Hera.
I didn't get into college. Check me out. I'm kick-ass.
And Cam Cleland.
I almost joined a frat in college myself, but they tried to make me chug a 40.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Put my nuts on the table, and then I did the damn thing.
All right, hour number 3, Dusty and Cam in the Morning, and then there were 3. We only have 3 unbeatens left in the National Football League. After the Tampa Bay Buccaneers rolled up on the Green Bay Packers, our unbeatens that remain, 5-0, Seattle Seahawks, the 5-0 Tennessee Titans, and the 5-0 Pittsburgh Steelers all remain unbeaten in the National Football League. Do we see an unbeaten last longer than a winless team in the NFL this year? Because if you look at our winless team...
That's a turd of a question, but yeah.
It is the New York Jets.
Are they the only one?
As long as Adam Gase is the head football coach, I would bet that they can go 0-16. I don't know if Vegas has numbers on it, whether at this point, but those guys don't want to win for him. If he gets fired, you can take the Atlanta situation. You can take the Houston situation. Immediately there's an injection of energy and a new hope. It's kind of like a Star Wars. It's a new hope.
Because we saw the Giants get their first win of the year.
I don't think they want to win. They're going to keep him there and fire him at the end of the season.
We saw the Falcons also get their first win of the year. And those were the only winless teams to this point.
Nobody's going undefeated in the NFL this year. I feel pretty good about that. I feel pretty confident about that. That record in the 72 Dolphins are going to stand very well, especially in a pandemic year.
But it's just so weird how teams will get that spark and they'll win a game, right? Like, you don't see it coming in the next 3 or 4 games for the Jets because they got the Bills, Chiefs, Patriots, and Chargers, right?
So you say that. We say this every year. I'm not saying that. It's just you say this every year. But a lot of fans think that, why can't you just win every game? Well, what do you mean it's weird that they found a spark? How much emotion and about of that goes into winning and seeing a difference? How can an LA team play that bad last night and play that good the week before? How can you do that? Is that the human factor? The fact that these guys are just, they're not robots. This isn't the fact that you just strap them on or you figure it out week to week. What makes a team so good from week in to week out and then suddenly they lose motivation? We've never been in a state of mind set up in history of sports where outside things matter more and how you can gauge if these guys, because when it was quiet, when there was no social media, there wasn't much media coverage, you could kind of sulk. You could hide in there. You read your own press clippings. You're like, nope, not going to read anything. Now guys run their mouths, talk about it on social media. They read everything. We have over analysts. We have Ian Rappaport's and all these other clown show guys that like to report stuff. You have Aaron. You just can't hide from it. So the emotional swing that you see from teams is going to be worse and worse as we get further into this decade.
Ian Rappaport, who reports stuff. Isn't he a reporter, though?
He's a reporter, but he put out a D pick and then got punished by the NFL. I mean, Adam Schefter reports crap that is not even real because he's supposed to report stuff that he first. All these guys report. And half the time when you go reporting things, No, I know that. My point is that we have guys that specific. We never used to have people that specifically are supposed to report NFL news or shocking news. You used to kind of wait till Sunday, or maybe you'd get an occasional Sports Center thing, and you just didn't get the amount of 24/7, 365 coverage of the sport. And players listen. They watch. Mm. They listen to Colin Cowherd, and they watch Baker Mayfield get all sensitive about it. Everybody hears the noise and the emotions of it. You know anything Aaron Rodgers heard the noise?
Absolutely. He said it. He said we needed a wake-up call.
He said we hear the noise, and guys can't emotionally hide from it.
But we've had the noise has been around for a long time.
Not like it.
Talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
Yeah, but you don't have the readily available noise like you do now.
Yeah, and it is there, and it is all the time. 24-hour news cycle. It's everywhere, though. It's not just our sports world that it's everywhere you go. You can get news at your fingertips on your phones now. And this is where I find it so interesting, though. We talk about those sparks. It is over the course of the NFL, it happens all the time. Like, remember Dan Campbell with the Miami Dolphins, how they were just terrible? They fired, Sperano? Or was he the Philbin? He was Philbin.
I thought it was Joe Philbin. Fired. Yeah.
They fired Joe Philbin. Dan Campbell gets the interim tag.
It was a Richie Incognito
and
debacle.
Then, boom, they win, right? Yep. They turn it around. You have it right now with the Romeo Crennel and the Houston Texans. They fire Bill O'Brien. Boom, they get a win right away. Fire Dan Quinn. Raheem Morris takes over. Boom, they get a win right away. Why is it that a team, and the Falcons especially, because they did everything they do with Dan Quinn. They stormed out to an early lead over Minnesota. But Dan Quinn's not there, and they're able to slam the door shut on
because
on
the league
Minnesota
is built.
Vikings.
The league is built on 8-8. If the league had their druthers, they would love everybody to be 8-8, 9-7, because it would create the most drama and interest.
Well, that's salary cap, yeah.
Yeah, and so if you're built to try to be equal, and the NFL will, because injuries and you got players, you can be San Francisco. You can be a 49ers fan and be like, our season's done. Okay, we might win a few games, but we're not winning a Super Bowl without your superstars. But they're going to tease you by beating the Rams and be like, I'm back, because you immediately think Jimmy Garoppolo's bad, but then he beats a team that's 4-1 who were killing guys.
Yeah.
But they hadn't beat anybody because they went undefeated versus the NFC East.
Yep, and to your point, Cam, this texter's saying, how have the Rams played so good until last night? Simple answer, they were beating up on the historically bad NFC East and have lost to their only two legitimate teams they've played.
Yep. They've lost to the Bills. And they've lost to the Niners.
This is why the Cleveland Browns are posers, because the Cleveland Browns, when they play bad teams, they beat them. Yeah. But when they play two good teams within their division, okay, they are getting outbeat 73-13. 73-13. Or I'm sorry, 76-13. That's not an anomaly. That's a statistic you can look right up. Is it your average? There's a bunch of average teams, and there's only a couple elite teams. But everybody, even when you're elite now, you're going to have hiccups. Like, the Seahawks are going to have hiccups.
Tell you what, one of those poser teams may, and they'll be flirting with this for quite some time.
Did you say the Bears?
Oh, yeah, we know that. We've already talked about that. Yeah. No, the Colts. Colts are doing the same thing. Exact same thing. They're beating up. Their wins are against the Vikings, Jets, Bears, and Bengals.
Speaking of hearing the noise. Philip Rivers has been playing for 17 seasons. He's heard it all, right? Heard it all. He even said after the game, oh, I heard all your comments about I'm washed up. My arm is bad and all that stuff. Even he, with all his kids, all those years, naysayers a bunch, he's listening, man. Those ears are perked up. It looks like Bugs Bunny hearing everything, hearing all the noise. But give me a reason. You know, there's a reason why Michael Jordan created fictional animosity towards random players, teammates, because once you get to the highest level, to stay motivated at that point where you're always up at the highest level, that's why there's only cleaners or elites of elites or the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. The rest of these guys are just average guys, man. They're just super talented, but they're average. They don't know how to stay up emotionally. That's what sets apart the great teams or the great leaders. So if you can't find, you got to find your motivation some way and somehow, but not all of them are going to be on top of their game week in and week out.
It is wild that is what kind of in the NFL, it's why fans love it. It's why it flips on its head from week to week. In what you can get is an emotional lift in football can mean so much. Like, momentum is a hell of a thing. And if you're riding momentum, it can go away in an instant. And yesterday's Tampa Bay Green Bay game was a great example of that, because they went up 10-0 and you were like, uh-oh. Here comes Green Bay. Rodgers throws his first pick of the season. It goes the other way for a touchdown. Comes out the very next drive, another pick, and gets returned to the 3-yard line. And it was just like all that momentum, that 4-0 start.
This is not a hot take on Aaron Rodgers. This is a straight up take that I'm seeing as he's aging. He is a front runner. Okay, he is a front runner quarterback. When things are going good, dime. His buddy comes over and he gives him a hug. He says, "I don't want to give you a hug." Throw a pick, throw another pick, tail between the legs. Can't do it. Things aren't red. Things aren't doing that. I think Aaron Rodgers first ballot Hall of Famer. It's not even close. But as you look at when push comes to shove in those moments in the last 2 years. In games when you need him to make throws, and I know they beat the Seahawks in the playoffs last year, but they were up 24-0 at halftime. So whatever. So they had to just hold off the Seahawks. He didn't really close the Seahawks. They held him off. When you're looking for him to make a play, when they get down, he does not come through in the end in the last few years. He's just not done that. Now, I know you go to trace it all the way back to the playoff game when he made that amazing throw versus the Cowboys, but let's be relevant now when you have to win games now. Will this happen in the playoffs? Will they face Tom Brady again? Will they have to face Russell Wilson? Will they have to face the best of the best in the NFC? The NFC, in my mind, is kind of wide open. Everybody wants to anoint Seattle. I think Seattle's good. It's open. It's wide open.
I said this at the beginning of the show. Aaron Rodgers is like the guy who you go out and you're on the tee box. You have those bad swings that off the one. You're like, uh-oh, don't have it today. And you saw that yesterday. He was just like, uh-oh, this is not good. And when it started, he did his little hip thrust in the end zone.
And oops,
and then after
score.
The oops, first score. Pick six, it was like, nope, don't got it, done. And I think that you can also chalk that up. He chalks it up too. I think a lot of times he's just a veteran and kind of, he's like, he plays it off as, oh, I know, you know. Sometimes you just have games like that. And he does it very nonchalantly. But there is something to the fact that he will... He's a guy that, at the end of the day, if it's not there,
it's grisly.
It's not
grisly.
There.
As nuts as it sounds, you watch the difference. I don't know if you see how the mic'd up version of Russell Wilson. I have to use this example because we're comparing against two unbelievable Hall of Famers. Russ says, we're going to win. We're going to win. Watch us. You know what I'm going to do in this drive. We're going to do that. Whether you think it's genuine or not, for some reason, he wills his team to those moments and wins. When Aaron Rodgers is down, what does he do? He sits with his hat and sulks on the bench. He doesn't stand up. He's not up talking to guys. He's not doing anything. His body language is, I don't care. I don't know. It's two different kind of styles. One guy wins. The other guy wins too. It gives you bad visual.
Rodgers hasn't he done it though this... The New Orleans game, wasn't that a tight game where he came up big down the stretch this year?
No, they blew him out. I thought they blew him out.
That was like 37-30, I thought.
This text says Cam's 100% right on Rodgers. The team doesn't look like they like him, so when things get tough, he falls apart.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot
gristly.
To it.
He's gristly. He's not approachable. He's not the guy that you look for massive amounts of motivation. Nobody's looking to Aaron Rodgers to get you up. Aaron Rodgers only plays for Aaron Rodgers. You can see it. You can see immediately. Ultimate teammate, it's up for interpretation.
Yeah, and there is like those moments. They're not the big time moments, right? I mean, if you go back, we've talked about Russell Wilson has these throughout. It seems like every week where it's game is on the line, and my God, he's got to make all the plays. There is something to Aaron Rodgers though, where he deserves a little bit of credit that. A lot of the games that he plays in, because he's so good and that offense is so good, they're not really that close, right? But when you get drug into deep water, what you're saying is 100% right. And what that texter says is right, is that it doesn't look like there's that chemistry or that continuity
there,
right?
Well, did you see the hug that when he came over, just that awkward interaction? What was that?
Which one? I don't know.
When Freeman went over to
about.
Give him, is like, hey man, you know, hey, something, it was wrong. You know, there was my bad. There's a couple things. And he's just like, yeah, dude, whatever, get off me.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's just, you know, that's just, you look at, I'm sorry, that was Devontae Adams, not Freeman. I meant Devontae Adams came over. He just kind of left his arms down. He was sitting on the bench sulking, and Adams came over. He's like, hey man, let's go. It wasn't a hand slap. There wasn't like, I got you. Let's stand up. We're going. Let's go get this. He was kind of like, yeah. Yeah, I'm Aaron Rodgers, and you just need to do better. You could just see the body language of it.
Yeah. Huh. Well, they're not unbeaten anymore. They've got a loss, and they do no longer look invincible in the NFC. And right now we have three unbeaten teams left in the NFL. The Seahawks, the Titans, and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Really good franchises. Really good.
Yeah. And
it's
only
the Steelers.
One winless team. It is the New York Jets. And as long as Adam Gase is the coach, it will be the New York Jets. They're bad. NFL overreactions, week 6. Who's done? Who's winning the championship? Let it rip. 503-250-1080. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. Overreaction Monday. Who's done? Who's next champs? Who's the new MVP? Let it rip. 503-250-1080.
Got one here that says, sure, the Pack or the Seahawks are better than the Bears, but Chicago's as good as any other NFC team. The Rams, Saints, and Bucks all get more respect, but shouldn't.
Rams, Bucks, and Saints get more respect than the Chicago Bears, as they should. They should. You're going to have to use your eyes really well on the Bears. The reason why the national media and everybody that uses this is that you have to prove that you can win those games and prove it over a long term. You don't get to shout your way into relevance. And yes, Chicago's won a few games, but really deep dive into that schedule and how they've won those games. I know. I have a little help from Detroit. A couple games and played Atlanta. Let's just be realistic. Come on. Use your eyeballs and compare Tom Brady, the Saints, and Seattle and some of these other teams and the Rams, and look at Chicago.
And here's an issue that Chicago has, though, is that they have the third best scoring defense in the NFC this year, but they have the third worst scoring offense in the NFL NFC this season.
And they beat Tampa on a short week on a Thursday, and that was a legit win. It was a good win, and you beat Tom on the road, and that's fair. That was a really bad football game by Tampa, but you were good enough to do that. And give some credit where credit is due.
The other teams, though, that are considered, you know, the contenders, they have really good offenses and defenses, right? Tampa's defense is the fourth-rated defense as far as points allowed go. They're the number one offense. They've scored more points than anybody else in the NFC. So you sit there and you look at that and you go, well, there you go. You have a great defense and a great offense. The same goes for the Green Bay Packers, who have a great offense and a very good defense to go along with it. And that's why you look at those teams and you say, you have good and good. Not one is really, because Chicago's defense is really damn good. Their offense is bad.
This text says, if I'm buying team futures, give me the Dolphins. They seem to have a legit coach, a good cheap running back in Miles Gaskin. Mm-hmm. They're loaded up with extra draft picks, including Houston's this year, which could be in the top five.
I've been saying this for years, but they might have just found the secret sauce, and that is a great coach. Brian Flores, they might have just found the secret sauce is just finding somebody that can be stable there and do that. It's still Miami. It's so hard to win in Miami for some reason. I don't know why it's been tough. I mean, even Dan Marino, we can trace it all the way back. Jimmy Johnson tried to get it done. Those guys have tried to get it done in Miami. I'm hope so, because it's an exciting young it's fun to watch.
They're taking their time with Tua, which is a great sign. They're not panicking. This has been a franchise that has always panicked. They made the right move last year, and they're making over the last couple of years have made the right moves when they got rid of Minka Fitzpatrick and they got rid of some of the bad apples, and they knew it was going to be a rebuild. They surrounded Brian Flores with guys who would buy in, and he's getting the most out of those guys. Right now, they're playing like they are the second best team in the AFC East. And that was my overreaction Monday from earlier, is that Patriots are the third best team in the AFC East because right now Miami's playing better.
So here was my overreaction. We all know I picked the Chiefs. Chiefs are solid, but I did pick the Steelers to win the AFC before Le'Veon Bell. I'm going to stick with the Steelers, but here's my other ultimate overreaction to change the narrative very quickly. The Tennessee Titans are going to go to the Super Bowl because they are built to beat both the Steelers and the Chiefs with Derrick Henry doing exactly what you're supposed to do.
Devin Bush injury is going to be big for Pittsburgh in that defense, especially if you get into a playoff game and you're going to have to stuff a heavy run team. You know, that's good.
How do you beat Kansas City? The only way to beat Kansas City is keep their offense on the bench. And the only way to do that is to have long, annoying, physical, sustaining drives on the ground. Now, they're going to try to replicate like they did in the AFC Championship game. They just didn't have enough firepower to get it done.
Ooh, how about this one? My overreaction If Tua Tagovailoa is healthy, the Dolphins will be Super Bowl contenders in 3 years.
3 years? I mean,
within 3 years.
Okay, so let's use a comparison that's fair to use a comparison. Tua and Russell Wilson. Those are two equally fair comparisons. Size, talent, ability, both escapable, good arms, good leaders. One came from a good program in Wisconsin. Another came from Alabama. Tua is injury prone. Russell was not. Those are two comparable setups. Seattle was not a Super Bowl contender. What changed was their defense combining, and within a couple seasons, they were in the Super Bowl. You're going to have to see something unique about Bill Belichick is still in the way. As long as Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are in that division, I can't get on board with that three-year thing. It just does not realistic. You can't.
They need to knock it out of the park again in the draft. And look, this next year they have the,
I hope so.
They have the Texans first round pick and they got to keep their own. Mm-hmm. They also have the Texans second round pick and they keep their own. They're gonna have four starter level players.
I know, come man. In. But I've seen teams in like that, Washington have a bunch of picks and they kind of just fumble it around. We've seen teams be able to do this. Tons of picks. Lots of picks. Raiders are going to have a crap ton of picks. So they give them away. The Jets are going to have a crap ton of picks. Oh, they're probably going to give them away or trade them. What are we going to do?
Well,
what are you going to do?
This is where it comes in and you go,
front office.
Haven't they
front office and leadership and history.
Haven't they been doing a good job over the last couple of years, though?
They have.
I mean, Christian Wilkins in 2019, they brought him in a defensive tackle mm-hmm. who's a nice little player that they have there. They get Tua and a left tackle. And they had three first-round picks, all of them playing, except for Tua, your right. fifth overall pick. And you're getting guys that are coming in and making an impact right away. I mean, that's all you can ask for, right?
You'll ask, and maybe Miami turns out to be just like Bill O'Brien was in Houston, a really good team, make a couple playoffs, make a couple runs. But how many times do we wait and see? We wait. We want to see a Bill Belichick tree disciple have success outside of, but he's in his own division. So you're already facing Bill Belichick and the rest of the crew. And Mike Vrabel might be under that same tree, but he really never really coached under Bill Belichick. He was just played under him, having the most success. You're waiting. We're waiting to see Miami do it. I can't buy in that they're ever going to do that as long as Bill Belichick is roaming the sidelines.
Yeah. Well, and what happens at the quarterback position in New England after this season is going to be a big question as to what the Dolphins do. They do appear to be heading in the right direction, though. That's one thing that is for sure.
Yep.
503-250-1080. Overreactions to the NFL Week 6. We'll get to some more. We have a Monday night doubleheader that we still need to get to. But next, we hit every game in the NFL rapid fire on The Fan. All right, let's get to it. We have to go around the NFL rapid fire style. All right, where we start is an overtime game in Tennessee. The Titans beat the Texans 42-36. Derrick Henry goes for 564 total yards, 212 on the ground, 54 through the air, and he had one hell of a day. But Romeo Crennel, why would he go for two when he was up 7 points in the final moments of that game?
The analytics tell you to do a lot of things, but you know what? There's a man-alytic on the other side. His name is Derrick Henry. He's the best running back in the game. He proves it week in and week out. And the Tennessee Titans, folks, are for real.
Did you see that Mike Vrabel took a 12 men on the field to stop the clock with 3 minutes to go?
Yeah.
Knowing that the Texans would score?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. All right, in Indy, you had Philip Rivers say, "My arm's fine." He throws for 371 yards, 3 touchdowns, as the Colts hold off the Bengals 31-27. Bullock, the kicker, missed another kick in the crunch time for Cincy.
Every time I watch Joe Burrow, I just feel for him. He's taking hits. He's battling. He's tough. In fact, you have to see him in a Bengals uniform for the rest of his career. Let's hope not. But Philip Rivers, listen to the naysayers, still slinging it from three-quarter, flipping it all of 30 yards. It doesn't matter.
Sacked twice, hit another 6 times with Joe Burrow. This
guy's going to...
Raheem Morris gets a win in his first game as the Falcons head coach after Dan Quinn was fired. They score 10 points in every quarter and pound the Vikings 40-23.
My favorite play of that game was watching Matt Ryan go, I'm going to step back, and then flip it to the super stud. Yeah, pretty good wide receiver. You think he's a pretty good wide receiver?
Julio?
Yeah, he's kind of good.
I would say he's pretty good.
He just makes a play, a ridiculous play.
8 catches, 137 yards for Julio. Yeah. Broncos go into Foxborough, and they get the best of the Pats, 18-12. Cam Newton, he looked broken. Apparently, practice does matter for the New England Patriots. Only throws for 157 yards.
Yeah, that one was weird. For the team that you would think would be the most mentally prepared, watching Indianapolis. I'm sorry. I meant Tennessee, how they don't have to practice, and they come in and stomp a hole in Buffalo. The Patriots. What was that?
Yeah.
What the heck was it? The Broncos? Drew Locke?
3/5 of their offensive line out for that game.
Yeah, that was a bad football game.
It's brutal. All right, let's go to, wow, Jersey. The Giants finally won a game, and Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron, he may be in trouble as the 1-5 Redskins or football team fall to the now 1-5 Giants, 19-20.
Well, you got to get somebody their first win. You got to help somebody out. The Giants. Joe Judge looking up. Which program looks like it's on the upswing of those two? Right away.
Neither.
That's kind of how I felt.
I mean,
it's kind of how I felt. I looked for the talent. I can't find it. I don't see it. Although Chase Young was back on the field. That make you feel good about Chase Young for Washington?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Daniel Jones almost ran for more yards than he threw for.
Kyle Allen. Not bad.
Speaking of quarterbacks that can run, Lamar Jackson, he was special. He had a touchdown scamper and one of the most ridiculous touchdown throws that you'll see where he just put the brakes on, did a little hezzy move and a sidearm throw for a touchdown. Eagles were reeling, and then Carson Wentz led him back. A failed two-point conversion to tie it was the difference. Ravens beat the Eagles 30-28 despite 22 points in the fourth quarter from Philly.
I can't tell you how easy the Ravens' schedule, other than just telling you, they've played one tough game and they lost against the Chiefs. Everyone else, they've just beat the crap out of, even though you go, okay, Eagles played well, played tough, Carson Wentz, make a two-point conversion, couldn't get it done. They were supposed to win that football game. Let's talk about now the 1st of November when they get to play the Steelers. I'm already jonesing for that football game, but, you know, Lamar Jackson keeps making plays on his feet.
Ravens kind of play like the team that suffered their second loss of the year yesterday, which was the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they got absolutely manhandled by the Pittsburgh Steelers, 38-7. Big Ben didn't need to go through the air. He only threw for 162 yards. But when your defense is as good as they are, you're not going to need Big Ben to win you games.
I love the Steelers. I love everything about them. I love their head coach. I love their quarterback. Playmakers on defense, everybody's on offense, the wide receiver core. Everything about the Browns is hateable, starting with Baker Mayfield and his stupid commercials and his bad beard. And I'm the guy, and whatever it is, Baker Mayfield, it's good. Sometimes when you get to eat a little humble pie and Odell Beckham needs to stand on the sideline and try to give everybody a pep speech because nobody's listening to him, yeah, the Browns are who the Browns are.
The Bears aren't because they're 5-1. They beat the Panthers 23-16. A couple of Teddy Bridgewater interceptions bookending that game. First drive picked, last drive picked.
All right, the Bears just—they're 5-1. It's the most weirdest 5-1 I've seen in quite some time. I don't know what to believe. The Panthers, I would have thought, played better. They don't have Christian McCaffrey, so the Bears get credit at 5-1. That give them credit. That division doesn't look so tough now, does it? Gonna look so tough with Green Bay getting stomped on. Watch out, Bears.
It was a get-right game, as it is anytime someone plays the Jaguars. The Lions pick up their second win, 34-16 over Jacksonville, and Matt Patricia saves his job for at least another week. DeAndre Swift, the rookie that dropped a game-winning touchdown attempt earlier in the season against the Bears, rushes for 116 yards and a pair of touchdowns.
Come on, guys. Let's all be honest. Nobody cared about this game. Nobody watched it. This wasn't even interesting. It was dreadful. It was just one of the worst matchups. Nobody cared.
Speaking of, the NFL sucks because they put this game as one of two games in the afternoon window. The Dolphins beat the hell out of the Jets 24-0.
Dolphins, we talked about them in the last segment. They got one of the best coaches, young new coaches in the NFL. They're playing above their skis. Of course I like their running back. Of course I like their future quarterback who got to sit out and hang out in the field all by himself. Wasn't at the 50-yard line. I think he was hanging out at the 20. Good for Tua. Good for Ryan Fitz.
2 for 2, 9 yards. Tua Tagovailoa.
Positive.
The Packers got their butts kicked by the Buccaneers. That was the other game in the afternoon window, 38-10. They were up 10-0, and then the Buccaneers offense ran one play, and they had a 14-10 lead, a pick six, and then an interception return down to the two-yard line.
Again, the Packers continue their inability to go play in warm weather, and every time they did it last year, they had to have a big game matchup. They got stomped on by the Chargers and the 49ers, and then in the playoffs again, every time we're waiting for Aaron Rodgers to win a big game on the road, he can't do it. But Tampa and Tom, don't challenge him. Don't challenge the guy. A good bounce-back game for them after that brutal loss on Thursday night.
Here's the thing about Rodgers in this game. How many more opportunities is he going to have to where he's in this situation? To where, I mean, he's got a tough, grinded-out type game. They've got the Texans, Vikings, Niners, Jags, Colts, mm-hmm. Bears, Eagles, Lions, Panthers,
good question.
Titans,
good
Bears.
Questions.
I mean, yeah. Their schedule isn't hard.
Yeah.
I mean, we could see them have rifle off another five wins in a row, and then boom, you're going to probably see another 13-3 Packers season.
Oh, man, 13-3, that would be, I don't know, 13-3, that's ballsy now after watching that. But you could absolutely see it. Good.
The Sunday night football game was the Niners and the Rams. Jimmy G is back, folks, 23-33, 268. In three touchdowns, and he found his woogie again. George Kittle going for 109 yards and a touchdown, including that 44-yard touchdown strike.
It wasn't sexy. It wasn't fun to watch. It was just grinded out football. For some reason, the 49ers were really agitated. You could see that they were agitated. They got embarrassed by Miami last week at home. And Jimmy Garoppolo was probably hearing the noise, just like our fearless producer wanted to trade him last week. Just get him out of here. He's terrible. We don't want him. We don't want anybody. All you got to do is just trust in this the process. Trust this. Just stay with me on this one. When someone wears number 85, you throw it to him. If you do that, all good things will happen. All good things end and finish with the number 8 and the number 5. Slightly biased, of course. 8-5. Throw it there.
Jared Goff is just as big of a reason why the Niners had their success as Jimmy G's looking like the competent quarterback that led them to the Super Bowl last year.
Cooper Kupp's not supposed to drop passes like that. That's not supposed to happen.
Did you see that stat that the Rams didn't have a dropped pass in the end zone since 2017 until last night?
Wow.
Yeah, that was the first drop of the end zone in 3 years for them.
And that was it's an inexcusable drop.
It was right there.
Kupp dropped it, but Goff was airmailing guys too.
True.
I mean, it wasn't a pretty game, and Goff admitted so. He's like, I need to be better. That was my worst game.
They did not look ready to play. Sean McVay did not have them ready to play.
Yeah, and he kind of looked lost at times. Mm-hmm. Like they did those cutback to him on the sideline. I was like, oh man.
Every division game we see from the NFC West moving forward is going to be a battle. Okay, there's not going to be blowouts in this division. I just don't believe it. I don't believe when we start getting that kind of play with the Seahawks, every game is going to be, there's bad blood across the board. They're all going to be battles.
One of those teams in the NFC West is in action tonight. The Arizona Cardinals head to the Big D for Monday Night Football against the Cowboys with Andy Dalton at the helm. But before that, we get a little taste of a potential AFC playoff matchup. The Buffalo Bills at 4-1 host the Kansas City Chiefs at 2 o'clock. We'll preview both of those next on The Fan. We get a doubleheader of Monday football today. I'm not going to call it Monday Night Football because the Bills and Chiefs make up their previously scheduled Thursday night game today at 2 o'clock our time on Fox and the NFL Network.
Wow.
2 o'clock.
Wow, 2 o'clock, huh?
It's going to be a tough one for all those Chiefs fans to get drunk by then and still work on Monday.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Talking to you, Chiefs Homer out there. I know you're listening.
But at least it's on the East Coast, so it'll be 5 o'clock for the Bills fans.
5 o'clock somewhere.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah.
Going to be breaking. We haven't seen any tables being broke this year. That's
oh, yes, they are. Oh, you're not looking in the right spot.
Doing a disservice to the Bills Mafia.
No. You just need to search the hashtag Bills Mafia starting
where
at about
are they
like
doing it at work?
4 hours
at their
before
house?
The game. Yes, anywhere they can. Like on the sidewalk in front of the
front
stadium,
of the
in front of
how
Ralph
do you
Wilson?
Socially distance and break folding tables?
Well, it's pretty
thoughts
easy.
Thoughts and prayers
Kim.
to the table folding
you
industry.
You set up the table, and then you just jump off of a car, and then the paramedics come and scoop
you
up. You
do a
you
one-man
up.
Show if you want.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, you can do that by yourself. I mean, you could get yourself, all you need is get yourself a table. Mm-hmm. Put your body right through it. The mustard squirting and ketchup squirting is one that is not able to do without people around you.
Pinto Ron.
How weird is that guy? Like, what kind of weird fetish does that guy have?
Well,
you know, mustard and ketchup mustard being sprayed ketchup. On him?
Must watch a lot of Dumb and Dumber.
Got to know where that, I mean, I'm sure it's out there, but how and where and why that tradition started. Like, why is that a thing?
Oh, because he's probably got a fetish and it's on the dark web. You're just not looking in those fetish sites, Buck.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what Buck's Meats or whatever your Instagram can turn into if people just get sick of your cooking.
No, I don't think I'm going to do the ketchup and mustard baths.
All right, whatever.
Doesn't sound great. Does not sound great.
What do we got going for this game, though? I sit there and I go, did we find out more about the Buffalo Bills last week and just go, maybe this team isn't ready for the big spot? No. Or are we going to see a turnaround like we saw from the San Francisco 49ers, where, look, Niners got blown out almost by the same score, 42-16 is what the Bills lost to Tennessee. Could they turn it around and give Kansas City a game? Are they built to beat Kansas City?
I don't think so. Kansas City gets up for big games. Every time they have to play in a big game, they end up showing up. Now, whether it's not, it's in the third or fourth quarter, just depends. But when they played Baltimore, they bounced. They looked very, very good. And the Bills are a good football team. Nobody's not saying that Josh Allen isn't a good football player and an up-and-comer. He's just there. He's not an MVP candidate. He's a good player. He's very good, but I don't think the Bills are ready for this matchup. If they find a way to do this, it'll be an amazing win. I think Kansas City stomps them, which means they beat them by at least 2 touchdowns, because the line is 5.5. I'd take that over all day long. I'd take that bet over. Give me the Chiefs to cover that.
You have the Chiefs coming off their first loss of the year, too.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be salty.
They went and they lost at home to the Raiders, which hadn't happened in a long time. And they got torched by Derek Carr, man. Yeah. Derek Carr. Was torching him.
It's going to happen.
And now you have Ruggs had a huge game, and now you have Stephon Diggs coming back at you, and you know, a big arm in Josh Allen. I kind of like that 5.5 points, though. You know, I like Kansas City to cover it, like what you're talking about. But this one may be coming down to this. This may be one that's down to the stretch. It's going to be weird. It's going to be a 5 o'clock game. Not really used to playing a Monday afternoon evening game like that. This can be weird stuff going on.
Yeah, we'll see how the emotions carry. A 2 o'clock start for them, but it's for us. But it's 5 o'clock. They get plenty of time to get ready for this game. They had all day to watch it. We'll see how the emotions of a Bills team and Coach McDermott can get them back and bouncing, because I think they didn't think that Tennessee was going to stomp on them the way they did. They weren't ready for that game mentally. You could see it. So I think they're going to be ready for this game. They're just not as talented as the Chiefs. I don't know how you beat the Chiefs. I really don't. I know the Raiders did it, but when the Chiefs want to play, like when they turn it on, oh God, no way.
I don't know how good Buffalo's defense is right now. Yeah. You know, the most points that they've scored this year is 28 against Denver, and when Denver was reeling. Their second most points are against this Buffalo team. And they gave Buffalo a game in week one, and they turned it on, and they separated from them. But right. How good wins. Are they?
We'll find out. We'll find out tonight. I mean, or this afternoon. Sorry, 2 o'clock.
And then Monday night, Andy Dalton era begins in Dallas.
Right. What was Andy Dalton signed a 1-year contract? Mm-hmm. Correct. Pretty inexpensively.
No idea.
If he leads this Cowboys team, wins this game, and leads this team to the playoffs by winning the division. Oh, my. Oh, my.
If they win today against Arizona.
1 year, $3 million.
Yep. If they win today, they will have a 2-game lead in the NFC East.
Yeah.
Like that.
Dallas.
By
Dallas
the way, they're 2-3 heading into this. They'd be
a
500 team with a 2-game lead in the division.
Man.
Because you saw Ertz got hurt again yesterday for Philly. So Philly may be getting back on the mend, but they keep dropping like flies all over the place. They still have a leg up in this division.
Kyler Murray's got to have a big game tonight. He's got to shine. This is that national television game. This is that statement opportunity for D-Hop and seeing those kind of throws. We want to see him make plays all over. I don't know what to think of Arizona's defense.
Well, they're banged up without Chandler Jones.
Well, Chandler Jones is out for the season. You're right. They still have a really good secondary. Very good secondary. I don't know. I'm not sold on Cliff Kingsbury either. Maybe it's just the square shoes thing. I don't trust guys with square shoes.
Mm. Well, you never should. You never should. Mm. Never should.
He's too cute to be a winner in the NFL.
He's adorable. He's a handsome man.
He's a
very handsome man.
Incredibly handsome. Yep.
And then we have off today. Tomorrow, it starts the World Series. Live from Globe Life Field in Arlington over on our sister station, ESPN Portland 910. It is set. Dodgers clinching a game 7 last night thanks to a Cody Bellinger home run in the 7th inning. 4-3, they beat the Atlanta Braves.
Thoughts and prayers to Houston fans.
Dodgers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thank you.
Suck it. You're
appreciate
out of
it.
See you later.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one more text coming in. Same person, Dusty, you could probably figure out who it is that texted us first thing in the morning. It is Jesse. He says, I missed the last 30 minutes, but can we please make sure and rub it in Dusty's face a little bit more that the Astros lost? Yep. Everyone rejoice and have a good day. Yep. The Houston Astros lost.
All's right in baseball, God world.
Thanks, Jesse. You know, it's really a tough thing when your team goes to the American League Championship Series.
Oh, here comes the excuses. Yes, here comes the shaming attempt.
Oh, no, it's not an excuse.
Oh, yeah, here it comes. Really ready? Hard. Right on cue, go.
When you go.
Here comes defense.
It's not a defense either. You go four straight years to the ALCS.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Cheat your way to the top.
You don't.
Very proud.
By the way. You don't find your way through in a game 7, you know?
Those of you that missed a great boxing match this weekend, Lopez is the first.
Everybody.
And Lomachenko. That was a great fight.
Who won?
Great fight. Lopez.
Was it a controversy? Controversial?
Yeah, 12 rounds. Lomachenko waited too long. It was an awesome, awesome fight. Such a great, but he now holds all 4 belts. I think it's lightweight. It's lightweight.
Oh, Lopez.
135.
Wow. Look at that. Big boxing. Big boxing.
Lomachenko had 349 amateur fights before he turned professional.
What? Ew. That's a lot of getting your head beat in. Well, I guess when you're that good, you're probably not getting your head beat in.
He's 32 years old.
You're beating in a lot of other heads. Yeah. All right, that'll do it for us. Up next, we got The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3 during break, 3 to 7. It's primetime with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Monday. See you Tuesday right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.